We all know the temptation when something happens, someone surprises us, whatever it might be, something happens in our lives and we get caught off guard. We are tempted to react in a sinful way. Arguing is not good, and we all understand it, don't we? It's sinful dialogue based on sinful reasoning. Jesus calls it evil thoughts.
Welcome to this Tuesday edition of Equipping the Saints with Greg Lundstedt, pastor of Equipping Bible Church in Greer, South Carolina.
And Dave, today is Letter Day, and I have a phone comment from Odessa in Texas. She says, those messages are really outstanding. I listen every morning. Well, Odessa, thank you so much for letting us know that you listen to the broadcast. Again, it's a blessing to know that the Lord is using His Word, and we so appreciate those who write and those who call and those who support this ministry and pray for us. Thank you so much.
Greg, today's message is one that we all need to listen to carefully because it hits us right where we live.
Dave, I can't agree with you more. Indeed, today we're going to be looking at God's view towards complaining, and it's critical for us to understand what that truly is. So with that in mind, let's turn in our Bibles to Philippians chapter 2, and we're going to be looking at verses 14 and 15.
Well, be sure to stay with us for the end of today's broadcast. Greg will join us in studio with some practical application, and I'll also be back with information on how you can obtain messages from the series for your own library. Now, let's join Greg for today's teaching.
When they hear something they don't want, whatever it might be, and we are tempted to respond in the same way. Do I need to further explain? We understand what complaining and grumbling is, and we are commanded to do continually, habitually, all things without that. If you're a true believer, if you name the name of Christ, complaining and disputing is not at any level right. You see, we used to do it before we were saved, but unless you've been saved, we are no longer to do it. You may have good reason in your mind. You may think you deserve to do so, and that's an evidence of something wrong in your heart. That's part of the reality of what comes underneath the complaining and grumbling that we need to deal with and have our hearts changed by the Word of God and by the God of the Word. So with this in mind, the Philippians, I believe, were doing well. He said, just as you have always obeyed, keep obeying. Work out your salvation with fear and trembling. And I believe if you're a true believer, by and large, you are not complaining and grumbling all the time. You may fall into it. And if you're deceived or hardened, if you're really falling into it, that's not a good thing. God's going to discipline you. Going to discipline you. Already is disciplining. But non-believers do it all the time. But true believers should be, by and large, not doing this. But we do fall into the temptation on a daily basis. Just be around other people for about 5 minutes, right? And you will realize there's temptation to grumble and complain. So with this in mind, we have this command, first of all, to do all things without grumbling. But what's the second word? The word is translated disputing. The word comes from the Greek word dialogismos. And we get our word dialogue from that. It carries the idea of reasoning. And what's interesting, it is translated almost every single time in a negative fashion. But it is often translated evil thoughts or evil reasonings that from that comes sin. You see, our arguments don't start on the outside. They start on the inside. When we reason about things in an evil manner, we don't see things from God's point of view as a humble servant, seeing others as more important than yourself. When we reason, we have the rights to address these things this way. It is evil reasoning, and it will manifest in dialogismos, or these arguments. It's used 14 times in the New Testament, and we never see it in a favorable manner. It's always negative. Again, it's often used to translate or speak of evil thoughts or reasonings. It's translated evil thoughts in Matthew chapter 15, verse 9, that come from the heart, by the way. We see the same in James chapter 2, verse 4. It's used to speak of an argument that arose among the disciples in Luke chapter 9, 46, in which who was the greatest? And then the same word is used by the Lord Jesus in the next verse to say their evil thoughts were behind that argument. It's evil reasonings in our head. They're reasonings that become arguments or disputes. Now, this is not saying that you can't have a discussion with another brother or sister. This is not saying that you can't have a discussion with a spouse or someone you have a disagreement with. But that's in the context of love and seeing others as more important than yourself. This is speaking about disputing. This is speaking about disputing and arguing. And I think we all understand this also, don't we? It is the opposite of what we saw earlier in Philippians. Look at chapter 2, verse 2. Paul says, make my joy complete by being of the same mind, maintaining the same love, united in spirit, intent on one purpose, arguing every day. No, it doesn't say that, does it? No, it says, do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit. You see, if anyone thinks he is something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. So if you're elevating yourself, that's empty conceit. Do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit, but with humility of mind, let each one of you regard one another as more important than himself. Do not merely look out for your own personal interests, but also for the interests of others. Have this attitude in yourselves, which was also in Christ Jesus. That's the opposite of these evil thoughts. And yet we all know the temptation when something happens, someone surprises us, whatever it might be, something happens in our lives and we get caught off guard. We are tempted to react in a sinful way. Arguing is not good, and we all understand it, don't we? It's sinful dialogue based on sinful reasoning. Jesus calls it evil thoughts. And so we are commanded, all things do continually without complaining and arguing. All things without grumbling and complaining. All things without disputing and arguing. And this is a serious sin, as we're going to see. And there's no room in the believer's life for it. There's no room for it. Now, love covers a multitude of sins, but it grieves my heart when people complain and argue and grumble. And I hope it grieves your heart too. All things do without complaining and arguing. Serious sin. Now, let me share some passages from the Old and New Testament to reveal the seriousness of this based on God's perspective. Even though I'm going to share from the Old Testament, I want to go to the New Testament first to show that God says this is what it's about and this is what it's going to do for you when you look back at these things. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. And we have a discourse on the Israelites, those who didn't know the Lord apart from a remnant, but yet God had interacted with them. He had led them out of Egypt. He had shown his mighty works. They had seen it, but they continually, habitually sinned against him. They're just like those who don't know Christ, and we are never to be like them. And that's the examples we're going to see. We are not to be this way because God hates what they did. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 1. For I do not want you to be unaware, brethren, that our fathers who were all under the cloud all passed through the sea, and all were baptized into Moses. So we're identified with Moses. That's what it means. In the cloud and in the sea. They followed Moses, who God used to lead them out of Egypt, and they followed that cloud which God was using as Moses led them, right? And he says here, and all ate the same spiritual food, and all drank the same spiritual drink, for they were drinking from the spiritual rock who followed them, and the rock was Christ. They had every opportunity to do the right thing. They had every opportunity to walk rightly, as we'll see. But yet, nevertheless, with most of them, remember I said there's a remnant of true believers, but with most of them, what? God was not well pleased, for they were laid low in the wilderness. Now, these things happened as examples for us, that we should not crave evil things, as they also craved. And do not be idolaters, as some were, as it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and stood up to play. Nor let us act immorally as some did, and 23,000 fell in one day. Nor let us try the Lord. And by the way, we're going to see that when they grumbled, they were trying the Lord. You see, when you grumble, you're testing God, as we're going to see. We're going to see that. Try the Lord as some of them did and were destroyed by the serpents. Nor grumble as some of them did and were destroyed by the destroyers. There's our word grumble. Now these things happened to them as an example, and they are written for our instruction, on whom the end of the ages have come. Therefore, let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall. And then it talks about not fleeing idols, right? And then no temptation coming upon you. These things were written for our instruction, on whom the end of the ages have come. Well, what things? The true stories of the failures of the Israelites and God's discipline unto death for those things that they did. They're written for our instruction, to show us how much God hates the sin. Turn to Exodus chapter 15. God had miraculously delivered his people from Egyptian bondage, and they began to complain and grumble. Exodus 15, verse 23. Now, there's a lot of scriptures, and I'm going to hit highlights of it. I'm not going to go through the whole Old Testament story, so I'm just going to hit highlights. You can read through them thoroughly on your own. But they began to complain about food and water and their circumstances. The basics of life. Where you live, what you eat, and what you drink, right? Food and water and where you live. Exodus chapter 15, verse 23. And they came to Marah. They could not drink the waters of Marah, for they were bitter. Therefore it was named Marah. So, verse 24, the people grumbled at Moses, saying, what shall we drink? It doesn't sound like grumbling, saying, what shall we drink? It is grumbling, because they're not trusting God to provide through the servant that he had brought forth, Moses. So they're saying, what are we going to drink? They're grumbling. It's not a simple question about what to do. It's grumbling. God says they grumbled. They grumbled at Moses. Look a little farther down to chapter 16. Then they set out from Elim, and all the congregation of the sons of Israel came to the wilderness of Sin. It's very interesting how the translations in our language, wilderness of Sin, right? It really was that, wasn't it? Right? Which is between Elim and Sinai, on the 15th day of the second month after the departure of the land of Egypt. Hey, it's only been 2.5 months. And the whole congregation of the sons of Israel did what? Grumbled against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. And all the sons of Israel said to them, would that we have died by the Lord's hand in Egypt, when we sat by the pots of meat and we ate the bread to the full, for you have brought us out into this wilderness to kill us, this whole assembly, with hunger. It's terrible grumbling, by the way. They're grumbling about their circumstances. They're grumbling about their leadership, by the way. We're going to see most grumbling is usually done in the context of authority, whether it's the government over you, whether it's a marriage relationship, whether it's a relationship in the church. It's usually done in that context. Usually done in that context, ultimately under God's authority. Look down a little further in chapter 17 of Exodus. You can read the whole thing. There's a lot more to this than just this, but let's look at chapter 17. Then all the congregation of the sons of Israel journeyed by stages from the wilderness of Sin, according to the command of the Lord, and camped in Rephidim. And there was no water for the people to drink. Therefore the people did what? Quarreled with Moses and said, give us water that we may drink. And Moses said to them, why do you quarrel with me? Why do you test the Lord? You see, our discontent is testing the Lord, because God has promised to provide us, hasn't he? When we have complaints, we are testing him. We are not trusting him. He says, why do you test the Lord? But the people thirsted there for water, and they grumbled against Moses and said, why now have you brought us up from Egypt to kill us and our children and our livestock with thirst? What about when the congregation grumbled later on when they heard the report of the spies? The spies went out, spied out the land. The godly spies, hey, the Lord's going to give it to us. Caleb and such. The non-believers, no way. It looks too hard. They're big guys. It's not good. It's not good. They're functioning based on their sight. And that's where grumbling comes from. Functioning based on the fact of what you see rather than what God has said in his word. What you feel and experience rather than what God has declared is true. Look at Numbers chapter 14. Turn up to Numbers chapter 14. These things are written for our instruction, that we would not crave evil things. Right? They're written for our instruction, specifically, on whom the end of the ages have come. Numbers chapter 14. Then all the congregation lifted up their voices and cried, and the people wept that night. And the sons of Israel grumbled against Moses and Aaron, and the whole congregation said to them, would that we have died in the land of Egypt, or that we had died in this wilderness? Why is the Lord bringing us into this land to fall by the sword? Our wives and our little ones will become plunder. Would it not be better for us to return to Egypt? So they said to one another, let us appoint a leader and return to Egypt. They're in full rebellion to God's authority, and thus they are grumbling. And after Moses goes to the Lord, notice the Lord's response. You can read the middle part, but look down at Numbers 14, verse 26. And the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron, saying, how long shall I bear with this evil congregation who are grumbling against me? Folks, grumbling is a serious thing. Complaining is a serious thing. Don't you dare complain, brother and sister. We need to confess it when we do. Don't complain about your circumstance. Don't complain about a situation. Don't complain about a person. Don't complain. Don't grumble. As we're going to see, our grumbling is against the Lord. Look here, what he says here. How long shall I bear with this evil congregation who are grumbling against me? I have heard the complaint of the sons of Israel which they're making against me. Say to them, as I live, says the Lord, just as you have spoken in my hearing, so I will surely do to you. You notice they're saying, we're going to die in the wilderness. We're going to die. That's what God's going to do. Well, guess what? That's what's going to happen to you because you're grumbling. So I'll do to you. I'd be careful when you grumble, by the way. Be careful what you grumble about. This is written for our instruction. What you grumble about may just come through. And it did for them. Your corpses shall fall in the wilderness, even all your numbered men, according to your complete number, for 20 years old and upward, who have what? Grumbled against. It's a serious sin. We see it later on. You know what's interesting? They grumble against the leaders later on in chapter 16 of Numbers. Look at chapter 16 of Numbers. And they rose up before Moses, verse 2, with some of the sons of Israel, 250 leaders of the congregation, chosen in the assembly, men of renown. These are the guys that think they're something, by the way. And they assembled together against Moses and Aaron and said to them, you have gone far enough. For, you know, I like it when those kids shows, when they read this, they make us, you have gone far enough. You know, you say that and you can just see how evil is, right? You have gone far enough, for all the congregation are holy. Hey, we're just as set apart as you. We can lead just like you can. Every one of them and the Lord is in their midst. Why do you exalt yourselves above the assembly of the Lord? When Moses heard this, he fell on his face. They're saying, rebellion time, why are you the guy leading? We're all holy. We're all holy. We could do it. Now Moses fell on his face, and after he goes to the Lord, we have the Lord's response. You can read the middle part there, but go down to verse 31, chapter 16. Then it came about, as he finished speaking all these words, that the ground that was underneath them. See, Moses challenged them. Hey, if the Lord's with us, this is what's going to happen, right? And then you know that portion. And it came about after he finished speaking all these words that the ground under them was split open and the earth opened its mouth and swallowed them up and their households and all the men who belonged to Korah with their possessions. So they and all that belonged with them went down alive to Sheol. And the earth closed over them and they perished from the midst of the assembly. They were laid low. They grumbled against the Lord and were destroyed. They grumbled. Looked a little farther, but you know what? They even grumble about what happened to them. Look down in verse 41. But on the next day, the congregation, the sons of Israel, grumbled against Moses and Aaron, saying, you were the ones that caused the death of the Lord's people, right? The ones who fell in the earth opened up, right? So they're grumbling about that. And what's the response? It came about, however, when the congregation had assembled against Moses and Aaron, that they turned to the tent of meeting. Behold, a cloud covered it, and the glory of the Lord appeared. And then Moses and Aaron came to the front of the tent of meeting, and the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, get away from this congregation, that I may consume them instantly. Then they fell on their faces. Now we know Moses entreats the Lord, and God is gracious for his name's sake. But God's response is, let me consume them instantly. We might think a little differently about grumbling when we realize that's the wage of sin. It's death. But Jesus Christ paid the penalty for our sins. And we should need to take sin not lightly, because we should think about it in the context of fear and trembling, right? Grumbling and complaining is a serious, serious sin. It's a serious matter. And we have these in the New Testament saying very specifically, these things are written for our instruction. And I hope we have been instructed today. If you walk out of here and you complain or grumble, you have a bad attitude, Lord have mercy on you. You see, grumbling is a characteristic of those who don't know Christ. Yet we as believers are tempted every day to grumble and dispute. We are. And we need to see the seriousness of it. We need to have God change our hearts that we would respond rightly, that we turn from evil. The temptation comes. We turn to the Lord. We allow His Word to remind us of the seriousness of sin and God's faithfulness to deliver us from that sin, and we turn from it. Just as you have obeyed, always obey. Keep obeying. Work out your salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God at work in you. Now, folks, indeed, Christians, as we saw back in the Old Testament, Christians are tempted to grumble against those in spiritual authority over them. I've seen this like you wouldn't believe. Many people grumble and resent the decisions I've made as a pastor, the ones in the body that God has given me an authority over. Maybe you have a different opinion. You want things done differently, but God has not placed you in that position. And you see the same thing with Moses and them. Satan uses the grumbling and complaining to very effectively separate the body of Christ. I'll tell you that right now. One pastor writes, "Arguing is the result of rebellion and a consistent second-guessing of those who, unlike Christ, refuse pain and suffering as part of God's plan and purposes. And virtually every instance of suffering, the whiners get in the face of God's leaders protesting against their pain. They seem to forget when they contend with God's leaders, they're really resisting God Himself." That happens in any situation, in a marriage, where the husband is over the wife for a time, right? Equal in Christ's sight. It happens in the relationship to the government. God has placed government over us. It happens in your work relationship. God has placed unbelievers over you. You're to do your work heartily unto the Lord, not unto men. When you grumble about your work, you're grumbling to God and against Him. In every circumstance, in every situation. And we are called to do all things without complaining and arguing or disputing. And again, this doesn't mean there isn't a dialogue that can happen in the midst of those relationships in a godly way, in humility, seeing others as more important than yourself. But if you find that irritation going on, you find that pull on the inside, that's not from the Lord. It's no coincidence this passage comes on the heels of the exhortation to think like Christ, to have the mindset of humility, to be a humble servant, to see others as more important than yourself. Indeed, grumbling and disputing and arguing are the fruit of a lack of humility in the moment. And those who do so place their desires, for whatever reason, good or bad, above everyone else. And the result is ugly, and God hates it because it's ultimately against Him. When you're tempted to be discontent, to have displeasure, those feelings accompanied of annoyance and anger towards a certain person or situation, for whatever reason, turn to Jesus. Be instructed by the Old Testament and us in whom the whole end of the ages have come. Turn to Jesus. No temptation has overtaken you. That's in the context of that passage in 1 Corinthians, of grumbling and immorality and all those things. No temptation has overtaken you such as common to man. You're no different than anyone else. We have the same temptations. Don't think you're different because of your circumstances. That's a lie. He says, but God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will provide a way of escape also, so that you may be able to endure it.
If you've just joined us, you've been listening to Equipping the Saints with Greg Lundstedt. You can hear today's message again by visiting our website, etsradio.org. That's etsradio.org. CDs of today's message or other messages are available at our website as well. And as a part of the ministry of Equipping the Saints, all our audio resources are available at no cost to you, thanks to the Lord's provision through the faithful support of friends of this broadcast. To order your complimentary CD, call us toll-free, 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. If you prefer to request your complimentary CD by email, our email address is contact@etsradio.org. Greg, help me understand how I'm supposed to do everything without complaining.
Dave, as we've already seen in today's broadcast, we are not to grumble or complain because ultimately our complaints are against the Lord. So when you're tempted with displeasure or discontent, which is so often accompanied with feelings of anger or annoyance,
Remember, we are to do all things without complaining or grumbling. So humble yourself and turn to Jesus, and He is a faithful God if you cry out to Him, who will enable you to endure the temptation and will provide a way of escape. Trusting Jesus is the only way we will stop grumbling.
As we close today's broadcast, it's our prayer that the Word of God has done its work in your life and that you've been challenged and encouraged to follow Christ more closely. If you'd like a complimentary CD of today's broadcast, call us toll-free at 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. And if you prefer to request your complimentary CD by email, our email address is contact@etsradio.org. Well, we hope you'll make plans to join us again tomorrow, right here for another edition of Equipping the Saints. Equipping the Saints is a broadcast ministry of Equipping Bible Church.